I think it's recording the counter. It's counting the number of seconds that it's recording.
Yeah. Second Timothy. I think we've finished verse 8, maybe not. Start in verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered. Remember, that's the drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, or I have finished the course, and I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not only to me, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. We studied the other day that there are certain words that can only be applied. Whenever you see the word glory, it's only applied to the resurrection of Christ. Whenever you see the word righteousness, it's only the righteousness of Christ in us. And so you can never forget these, that it's always applied only to Him. Amen?
I was thinking that when it said, to those who love His appearing. There's only one who loves that appearing. Self hates that appearing.
Amen. Let's look at a few of righteousness just to get an idea. Go to Matthew 6. Verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And therein it's obvious that the righteousness, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, can only apply to Christ. Amen? Let's go to Romans 4. Verse 1, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the faith, to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You got it? This is one of the most important scriptures. This is the scripture that drove Harry crazy. To him that worketh is reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. No matter what it is, if you think you have something to do, it will always end up being a debt. It may seem to be not a debt the minute you finish it, if you're able to. But remember, the gospel is to the poor, those who are not able to complete a thing they desire to complete. So if you're able to fulfill a thing, it looks like it's great news to you. But it's the destruction, it's the worst thing that can happen to the spirit. Because therein you were not poor. Amen? And this is why the gospel is hated by all men. Because even the worst of men think they can complete a thing, and their righteousness comes from that. But to us, to him that worketh, is the reward not counted of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Why? Because your faith is counted for righteousness, because you've remained in grace, and there his righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, is your only rightness. This is why I despise the small talk. Because small talk, if you listen carefully, you will see it's always about somebody being right. And therefore you gain sustenance if you think you're right. And it, by the same token, if you have given breath to something after the flesh and it doesn't happen, then you feel sadness. I just saw in the, I mean, this is so easy, I shouldn't even take the shot, but I saw in the paper this morning that the Dallas Cowboys just got crushed. And there's sadness all over Dallas, which is just ridiculous. And if they had won, then there would be a sense of accomplishment. Because you're eating the flesh of that. But now the sense of, and if it isn't the Cowboys for you, it's something else.
I'm not feeling sad, so there's progress here.
I can't believe you said that. I cannot, but I'm gonna let it slide this morning. Okay, go to 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. He's a new creature. He's a new creation. He is something that had no reference to himself in the past. If you believe that you're coming to God so that you get off drugs or that you stop alcohol or so you can give your wonderful little testimony, then you've missed the point. There is a new creation. It's a new genus, a new class, a new thing. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, it should say all things are new, but because Paul recognized our rebellion, it takes time. So all things become new. But time is only necessary because of our rebellion. You can get a hint that the rebellion of his church, because it was finished 2,000 years ago. So he's been the rebellion of man for 2,000 years. Not the man in general, but his church, which is so sad. All things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And the word reconciliation here means exchange. You've exchanged an earthen clump of dust for a vessel for the Holy One. And now your identity can no longer be the earthen dust. Your identity is the Holy One. And anything that happens to you is not happening to you. You're being a partaker of the sufferings of Christ. I is gone. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead to be reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's mind-bending. We are the righteousness of God in him. No more concerns for what you do or don't or are or not. That's gone. Amen? All right. Go to Hebrews 5 and we'll quit. But this one I might spend a minute on. It's talking about Christ and said he was made a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. It wasn't a priest after the order of Aaron, that was of the flesh. But now he's a high priest after the order or class of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and are hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. You understand that? Anytime, I believe that everyone that whatever you want to call it, has presented themselves to the Father, has accepted Christ, in some way, they are part of this mystery. But whoever is preaching, if you're preaching that your job is to go out and convert others, then you're unskilled in the word, it's milk of the word. You are unskilled in righteousness, in the word of righteousness, or any other things. If you're telling people how to get something from God, then you're unskilled in the word of righteousness. If you're telling people how to solve a problem, you're unskilled in the word of righteousness. Amen? I hope you see. All right, go back to 2 Timothy.
I like how those things that he's saying are only hard because the hearers are dull.
That's right.
If the hearers were not so dull, they wouldn't be such hard.
They're easy. They're as easy as breathing. All right. Henceforth, wait a minute, where are we? Yeah. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And what is that? We've spent months and months on that day. We are in the night of the last day, but now we are in the day, for the day has dawned and the day star has arisen in our hearts. And the seventh angel is sounded and said, the mystery of God is complete. Therefore, for us, time has no more meaning. That day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Love is agapeo, that give breath only to his appearing or his being revealed. Shall give is apodidomai, which means it's like receiving an award or. What it really is, it's much like the Special Olympics. And in the Special Olympics, they end up giving everyone an award because they love his appearing. Now, to me, that's the greatest, that whole idea, what happens in the Special Olympics. There's something precious about it. Because they don't care whether you win or not. That's not the point. So that's the idea of what this what he's giving us is. That love, agapeo again, it just means that's the only thing you give breath to. And his appearing is epinaphia, where we get the word epiphany. But it means a shining forth when at that moment you see. This best describes my own conversion experience. And it's like for me it was backward. The conversion experience was this pure light without a source. It was a light that had no source. It was an overwhelming sense of warmth and comfort. It was a sense of completion that there's no words to describe it. And I've had that experience back to me many times, but it normally happened like when there was a gun in my mouth and I gave up, and then they had that again. And other times when I've been really sick and hurting, but it never happens when I'm doing well according to my understanding. Amen? That all laws that love his appearing give breath only to that revelation. All right. So, verse 9. This is a very short verse. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Do thy diligence is spadazo. I'm sure I don't pronounce any of these words right. But we're going to just, let's look. It's used kind of sparingly in the New Testament. But let's look at where it's used. First is Galatians 2. One verse, in verse 10. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. Remember is the word, remembering or remember the poor is the same word. It's due diligence to make sure that the poor in your arena are fed and clothed, that you give them what you have. Okay? The next place is Ephesians So just go to the right a few pages. Ephesians 4. I put them in order for our friend Ronnie's sake.
Thank you very much.
I lost it. But it's the one that says give diligent, I mean,